We are in the second week of a study called 11 Indispensable Relationships. Tonight's subject matter is Seeing Whom God Sends, which will be part one and part two, part three going forward. So last week we talked about the significance of relationships and just how they frame our life and really are so foundational to us having a successful future. And we just have to slow down and treat relationships. We talked last week like fine china and not like disposable tableware. We really need to understand the value of every person that God sends into our life and the purpose for which they were sent. And when we begin to identify not only the purpose, but the person, then wow, it can really begin to make an impact in our world for good. We also want to make ourselves available to be an impact for good in other people's lives. And so one of the great prayers that we can offer up to the Lord is, Lord, here am I, send me. And that's a good way to start each day, because as we get going, we sort of have this map of where we're going to go and the things we're going to do. And if you're, you know, a productive individual, you know, that's understandable. But along the way, sometimes those divine interruptions are just God's way of His will taking place through us into another person's life. So we always want to be open and receptive that sometimes we need to just slow down so the will of God is done and not just try to move from one thing to a next in such a hurried pace. So our opening text is Matthew 14:35, and it says, "And when the men of that place recognized him," when the men of that place recognized him. Now, this is talking about a village and a group of people that identified Jesus as the Messiah. Once they recognized who he was, then they went and they began to tell others that the Messiah had come. And then they brought many other people unto Jesus, and he was able to minister unto them. And I find that something that is fascinating to me. You would think that Jesus would be identifiable. After all, didn't he have, you know, didn't he glow and have an aura and have a halo over his head and you could see him coming miles away? And that's the way some religious pictures, you know, portray Jesus, is that you just couldn't miss him. But the book of Isaiah said that he was a very ordinary man, and there was nothing about him that was extraordinary as far as his stature or his build. But one thing that we do know about Jesus is he was anointed above anybody else. And once they recognized that God was working through this man, they began to tell it to others. I find that to be something that we need to really consider in our own life. Who has God used to talk to you? Who has God used to shape your life spiritually? And these are the relationships we're going to begin to look at tonight. So let's remember, though, indispensable means absolutely necessary. In other words, there's no option C or D or E. This is God's best. It's indispensable, absolutely necessary. Relationships are a connection, an association, or involvement between two or more people. So we could really title this series, these are 11 absolutely necessary connections, associations, and involvements that we need in our life to make our life complete. And God has put us into families. He's put us into the body of Christ. And so there's many, many uniplural nouns given in the New Testament that help us to understand that we are not to live our lives isolated or separated from other people, but we are called to be part of the body of Christ. And every member is important, and every member has something to supply. It's been said that the difference in our life today and 5 years from now is determined by the people that we meet and the books that we read. And if you've never proven that out in your life, maybe you don't want to wait 5 years, but maybe do 1 year and become a reader, become someone who picks up something and starts and finishes it, and you'll see the difference that makes in its life. Many of the people that have had an impact in my life, I've never met in person, but I've read their books. And through reading of their books, they have shaped and impacted my life for good. I know you have the same testimony. So, in your bulletin last month and then this month, we've given you some book recommendations, and one that I want to highly recommend is one that our staff is going through right now called An Unhurried Life by Alan Fadling. An Unhurried Life by Alan Fadling. You can ask any of the staff and what they think of this book. And every week when we get together and discuss and the chapters and support each other in our devotion, everyone walks away and said, "This is the best book I've read in years. This is the best book I've read in years." Outside of the Bible, it has been a tremendous read for us. I'll say it one more time, An Unhurried Life by Alan Fadling. And Tipping Point by Jimmy Evans, and the story of George Mueller is told by Baser Miller is also a recommendation. So going through this year, I'm going to give some recommendations every month to some good books that I believe will encourage and inspire you. The story of George Mueller, if you've never read it, is very, very encouraging. And I ask you to consider that. E.M. Bounds, here's a great quote, says, "While people look for better methods, God looks for better people." We're always looking to find a better method, and it's another way to, you know, invent the wheel. But there's just really, God just wants to shape us and make us better people, and then the work gets done. So let's talk about three of these indispensable relationships tonight. And in your notes, you can see I've asked, who's your Nathan, who's your Epaphras, and then who's your Timothy? Let's start with Nathan. Nathan is someone, as we know, that was used by God to help David get his life back on track. So David was the prophet. I mean, Nathan was a prophet. David was the king of Israel. David had committed adultery, and he had taken a man's life, and so he was really conflicted in his own soul. If you read Psalm 55, it's the song of repentance by David, and where he says, "Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Restore unto me a clean heart." And he just is crying out to God because he knows that he has breached a sacred trust with the Lord. And God sends the prophet into his life. And we need prophetic people in our life. You can read more about that account in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But prophetic people are like editors. And I like this analogy. I like this allegory because editors have a heart of love. If you were to publish a book and you took, you know, many months of research and documentation, and then you scripted something and you would submit it to someone that cared about what you were writing about, you just wouldn't give it to anybody. You would give it to someone who has a heart to help you to get the message out or to get the information out that you took so long to write about. So Nathan had a heart for David. He loved David. And this was a very challenging thing for him to do, was to go to the king, because they shared authority over the people of God. And David was struggling so much that he wasn't really leading the way that he previously had. And that was recognizable by the people of the nation of Israel. God wanted him to be restored and to get right and to be able to go forward. So another thing about editors, they use stories to reveal what's truly taking place. Remember how wise Nathan was when he interacted with David, and he told the story about a man, and he just had one lamb, and someone came and took it, and David was just, you know, feeling like, what an injustice. And at the end of the story, this was the third thing, is they help us see and they help us to get back on track. An editor or a prophetic person wants us to get it right. They don't want us to waver, and they don't want sin to continue to separate us from God. So they love us enough to tell us the truth. They're in our life because they want to be there, and they tell stories to try to help us to see really what's happening with us. They're not just telling a story to tell a story. They're really illustrating a truth so that we can see and we can get back on track. And here's the last thing about an editor, is that their message can challenge and convict us. I've submitted a lot of papers to the girls in the office throughout the years, and they come back with a lot of red ink on them sometimes. And it's, you know, grammatical or spelling issues or whatever it may be. And, you know, a prophetic person at times when they're speaking by inspiration, they've been sent by the Lord, they do love us, but they love the Lord first and foremost, and they need to obey Him. And as a mouthpiece for the Lord, they need to speak what God has put in their mouth. In the Old Testament, the prophets were known as seers. They see things. And sometimes because in our busy lives or our hurried agendas, we don't see things the way that we need to. But an editor or a prophet helps us in the end get the story right. This is just a little caveat, is they don't change the story. They help us get the story right. Nathan couldn't change the story. He couldn't change the consequences. What he could do is help David to get it right. And David showed some really good character qualities in that he was teachable and he was quick to repent. And he did repent, and God used him, and through him, Jesus Christ and the lineage of Jesus came into the world. Where would David be without a Nathan? Where would David have been without Nathan? Would he have continued to cover his sin, to hide his sin, to justify his sin? Would he have been able to continue to rule and reign? I would say no, he wouldn't have. He would have been disqualified. At some point in time, he would have been disqualified from being able to serve the people of God. So this is how important a prophetic voice is in our life, is they keep us from being disqualified, because they see things and they know things and they tell us things. And even though it's challenging at times and convicting at times, it's absolutely necessary. These relationships cannot ever be taken for granted. We can't get offended when someone loves us enough to tell us the truth, to come seek after us, to help us, to serve us. And we have to thank God that He loved us enough to send somebody into our life so the story and the end of our life ends up correctly. So have you ever had a Nathan in your life? That's something to consider and to think about. And as I said last week, some of these relationships, you'll see different people fulfilling their roles through different seasons of your life. Because some relationships are for a season and then some have longer duration. All right, the next person that we need to consider is, who's your Epaphras? And you may even wonder, who is Epaphras? I mean, how do you even identify this individual or their character qualities if you don't know who they are? And here it is. They're a partner in prayer. They would be a prayer partner. People that you get together with and you get the things of God done through prayer. And he's mentioned a few times in the book of Colossae. Many church historians and even the Apostle Paul in his writings actually indicate that Epaphras was the individual that helped to found this church in Colossae. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a proselyte. He came to faith in Christ through the evangelistic outreach of the early church. He came to submit his life to Jesus Christ. And then he is described in these really heartwarming ways in Scripture. He was a fellow worker. He was a faithful servant. He was a co-laborer. Think about each one of those. Who has been like that in your life? Who's come beside you? Who supported you? Who's been a co-laborer? Who's been a faithful servant? Who has been a good servant in your life and has helped and has supported you? This is who Epaphras was to the Apostle Paul. And this is the relationship that you and I have experienced at times, and maybe we're even unaware of it. Who is it that you get together with and that you're comfortable with and praying and seeking the Lord? And this is not gender specific. And it's just something that we need to pay attention to. Because prayer is something that the church really needs to understand is so fundamentally necessary in order for the church to have impact in a culture, especially our culture right now, and the way that things are going on. And we need to call upon the God of heaven to come and visit people here on the earth. And we need to travail and groan until the Word of God penetrates the heart of individuals to where they are born again. And not just going to church, not just having some form of godliness, but no presence, no power, no testimony. If a person doesn't have presence or power or testimony, they're not living in a current abiding relationship with Jesus the way that they were designed to. Because if we're hooked to Him the way we're supposed to, then He's the vine and we're the branch, and He supplies life to us and we become fruitful. And we need to be aware that in our own life, God is going to send an Epaphras to us. And he was a co-laborer with Paul. He was a man of prayer. He helped the church of Colossae complete the will of God. They're just faithful people. You could beat them away with a stick and they'd show up the next day. They are just super committed. They care deeply about your spiritual growth and development. Sometimes they care more than the person they're giving care to. Have you ever had someone like that in your life where you're like, I don't really care right now. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm not really interested. I'm not, you know, that vested. And this person just keeps showing up in your life, and they have this, you know, really childish grin on their face, and they just will not let you wander too far away from God. They care about your spiritual development and your maturity. They see your potential sometimes when you don't see it. So I want to excuse myself for a minute and just sort of take a liberty. What parent doesn't fill this role in the life of their child at times? Let's not make this overcomplicated. Let's not make it over spiritual. It's the everyday, ordinary relationships that we don't sometimes see or recognize that God is using to shape our lives, and that He wants to use us to shape other people's lives. And it's not easy being an Epaphras. That's why they have to have this backbone of steel, and they keep showing up because they're faithful. They're committed. We could say no to them 100 times and they could say, does that mean maybe? Does that mean yes? Can we try it again tomorrow? This is the kind of spirit. They have a spirit of faith. They believe more in us, and they believe more in God in us than what we ever recognize about ourselves. Who's been an Epaphras in your life? You know, has prayed for you. I can think of several in my life, and we'll get into that perhaps in the discussion. So here's the third one. You guys ready? Who's your Timothy? Timothy is a story in light of the life of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had many traveling ministers and many co-workers, many laborers. But he identified Timothy as the only one who was like-minded. He said, I only have one who is like-minded. And he identified Timothy as his number one son. And I know that each and every one of you who have children, you love all your children with the same love. But you do love some maybe a little easier than others. And that's just the biblical story. I mean, you can just see that in it over and over again. Now, I just want to say that there was a really close bond and a deep, abiding love that Paul and Timothy shared. It was unique from his other disciples, from his other ministers, from those that traveled with him. Timothy was in a different category relationally with the Apostle Paul than anybody else. And even in Jesus' ministry, you have Peter, James, and John. You have Peter, James, and John who he invited into more of his personal ministry than any of the 12. Now, he loved us all. He died for us all. He's risen for us all. But there was something that God had orchestrated, that God had ordained, that God had established for Paul and Timothy to work together. And that is a very unique relationship in your life. And this relationship is typically not short term. It has a long duration. These relationships are like a father and like a son. And the thing that separates them at the very end is someone passes away. That's the only thing that separates this type of relationship. And so a Timothy was a true son. He was an heir. And I wrote this statement because I think it's something that occasionally we need to be reminded of. We are all walking in someone else's footsteps. We are all walking in somebody else's footsteps. I'm not sure whose your footsteps were. I mean, I don't know who that person was who was walking ahead of you and you followed in their footsteps and you tried to mirror their footsteps, but there is somebody in your life like that, that has been there and is probably still there today, unless they've passed away. And if they have passed away, there's somebody else like that in your life right now. There's somebody else like that, or there's getting ready to be someone else like that. We just have to recognize them. In order to sometimes recognize, you know, our Timothys, we need to have God open our eyes. And sometimes we are the ones that God is calling to be a Paul to a Timothy, to spend time with them, to develop them, to help shape them, to encourage them, and to help them to mature. So there are shadows. Wherever Paul was, where's Timothy? He was in his shadows. They know your heart and they can complete your sentences. The last thing is they reflect and resemble their spiritual parents. This is what Jesus said about a master and a disciple. In Luke 6:40, he said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." Will be like his teacher. You can see this in sports. If someone had someone in their life and they were mentoring them, they may have some of the same mannerisms that that person does. And you can see this with musicians, the way that they perform or the way that they play. A few weeks ago, Randy Olson and I went on Saturday night out to Prairie Meadows and to go see Beatlemania. And it was really enjoyable. And there were four young men who were playing the early music of the Beatles. You could close your eyes and you would think that it was the Beatles on the stage. But they had the outfits, they had the wigs, they looked like the Beatles, they sounded like the Beatles. How long do you think they had been listening to the Beatles music, playing it and singing it in order to do that? It was a while. And they played for an hour and a half nonstop, and it was just very, very enjoyable. It was really entertaining. It was clean, good environment. There were families there with their children and their grandchildren that they wanted them to hear the music of their era and the people that they liked. And I just kept thinking, well, there's Ringo. There he is. He's just right there on the drums. And there's George and there's John and there's Paul. And Paul was even playing the left-handed bass. They had it down to a T and they sang harmony. They sang lead. It was just very, very good. Well, they had to be shaped and they were formed by the Beatles. And they had some of the same mannerisms and they all talk in an English accent and had some of the same verbiage. It was unique. So thus it is with like a Paul and a Timothy. It's like, you have senior and then you have junior and they sort of walk the same and talk the same and think the same. And that's what that relationship looks like. I love some of the little captions on Facebook occasionally. What I like most about Facebook is saying happy birthday, happy anniversary, just seeing all the fun things. That's 1A. 1B is all the funny animals. And since I like funny animals, I get funny animals every day. And so I watch funny animal stuff. And Char and I, what do? Every night we watch a few funny animals and laugh. It's usually dogs and other things, but animals are amazing. But they have occasionally, they'll have a caption of like two little boys dressed up in bib overalls and with the hat off sideways, and they're out, and one will have a little piece of straw in his mouth and have his hand in his thumb in his pocket, And the other one will be standing there with his hands on his hips. And I just think to myself, I wonder what their grandparents look like. They look exactly like that. They got bib overalls on, their hats sort of sideways. The little boy's got a thumb in his pocket, and the other one's got the thumb on his hips. And then there's always some funny caption there, and I just laugh and enjoy those things. But I just want to say that these relationships are so valuable and so important to our lives. And so as we're going about our daily activities, our responsibilities, let's be aware, all right, God could be sending us into someone's life to fulfill one of these roles. And if he does, just know that he's going to grace and equip you to do it. And he's going to anoint you to do it. And you're going to be received by the people that God sends you to. I really believe that. And then let's recognize at times, you know, where there's gaps in our life, and we can pray and God can send someone like these three people into our lives, and our life will be richer and fuller because of it.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.